KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky. We're at 23 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high around 43. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In Southwest Iowa news this hour, the Creston Police Department reports 43-year-old Michelle Snyder of Creston was arrested at around 4 a.m. Saturday at her home on a charge of domestic abuse assault. Snyder was subsequently released from the Adams County Jail on a promise to appear. A little later on Saturday morning, a Creston resident reported to police that sometime between the hours of 9 p.m. Friday and 8 a.m. Saturday, someone threw a rock through a window at his home. The damage to the residence, located in the 400 block of West DeVoe Street, was estimated at $225. And Friday afternoon, 41-year-old Joel Gross of Creston was arrested on a charge of driving while suspended. He was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. Elsewhere in state news, authorities say one person was hospitalized after a fire that damaged an apartment building on the southwest side of Des Moines. Fire trucks were dispatched a little after 1 p.m. Sunday. Arriving firefighters saw smoke coming from the third floor of the Wakanda West Apartments and fire and smoke billowing out the front of the building. One person was taken to a hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Their name was not released, and the cause of the fire was under investigation. Authorities say a man has been injured in an explosion at a Davenport apartment building. That blast happened around 4 a.m. Saturday. A news release said debris was found in the yards by firefighters who quickly put out the flames inside. A man who lives in the ground-level unit was taken to a hospital. The explosion is being investigated. No name was released. When the Iowa Department of Public Health put out a request for a proposal last week for a second company to manufacture medical marijuana, there are no plans to add licenses for more dispensaries. DPH Deputy Director Sarah Reister says that the law only allows for 5 dispensary licenses.
For us to be able to offer additional dispensary licenses, the legislature would need to change the statute.
The Cedar Rapids City Council member called for more licenses after the recent awarding of licenses to Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Windsor Heights, Waterloo, and Davenport. He says that some Iowans will have to drive a long way to get to the dispensaries. Reister says that the health department will keep an eye on the situation as the products start being distributed.
We will certainly collect information and we will collect feedback. We want to be a source of information for people on the program as, you know, being the regulators and being the people that maintain the patient registry. We are a natural place for to hear some of those concerns and questions the patient may have.
She says there is another way for people in the program to provide feedback.
The other vehicle really for recommendations to changes in the law is our Medical Cannabidiol Board. They have an annual report that's due to the General Assembly no later than January 1st of each year. And so we would also keep our advisory board up to date. They hear from patients at every meeting. They have a public comment period.
Reister says they want to be sure that they're hearing from those involved in the program.
Certainly, we will provide feedback in terms of information that we are receiving. And our advisory board might decide to make a recommendation as well.
MedPharm Iowa is required to have the medical marijuana products available by December 1st of this year. An Adele, mother of twin toddlers, spotted wandering naked near a busy state highway in central Iowa last November, has pleaded guilty to child endangerment. The Des Moines Register reports 19-year-old Jasmine Teed entered her plea last week in Dallas County District Court. Teed faces up to 2 years in prison when she's sentenced May 31st. Officers were sent to a house along U.S. Highway 6 in Adele at around 9 a.m. on November 2nd. Police say witnesses reported seeing someone herd the unclothed 2-year-olds back into the house after they were spotted near the highway. An officer entered the house and called out but received no answer. The officer reported finding Teed asleep in a bedroom. Police say the outdoor temperature at the time was 43 degrees. Senator Joni Ernst says Allied strikes against Syria made it clear the use of chemical weapons will not be tolerated. Ernst, a Republican, is a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. She issued a written statement shortly before 10 p.m. on Friday. Ernst says there is indisputable evidence the Syrian regime is guilty of horrific crimes against its own people. She called Syrian President Bashar Assad a war criminal and accused Russia and Iran of helping to be complicit in the chemical weapons attacks on innocent civilians. Ernst praised President Trump administration for decisive and precise leadership on with our British and French allies. And at midnight, Republican Congressman David Young of Van Meter issued a statement calling the action against Syria strong, swift, and targeted. Young said the U.S. and its allies, quote, cannot tolerate atrocities against the innocent and the use of chemical weapons. Congressman Rod Blum of Dubuque sent a tweet Friday night signaling he's part of a group of Republicans in the U.S. House who will call on President Trump to get authorization from Congress before engaging any further in Syria. Blum, however, did not issue a written statement on Friday night's airstrike. And as of Saturday, Senator Chuck Grassley, Congressman Steve King, and Congressman Dave Loebsack had not issued any statements on the president's actions in Syria. President Trump declared Saturday mission accomplished for a U.S.-led Allied missile attack on Syria's chemical weapons program, but the Pentagon said the pummeling of three chemical-related facilities left enough others intact to enable the Assad government to use banned weapons against civilians again if it chooses to do so. The nighttime Syria assault was carefully limited to minimize civilian casualties and avoid direct conflict with Syria's key ally, Russia. Russia and Iran called the U.S. Force by the U.S. and its allies a military crime and an act of aggression. Well, former Governor Tom Vilsack says the current U.S. Ag Secretary has authority to provide some shorter-term financial support to farmers that Vilsack did not have during his 8 years as the nation's Secretary of Agriculture. If the trade dispute with China escalates, Vilsack says Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue has unfettered access to Commodity Credit Corporation resources,
which can be used in a very thoughtful and strategic way to provide some direct assistance for a period of time. The reality is it's a stopgap measure. It's not something that you can necessarily do that is permanent. And frankly, most of the farmers I talk to would prefer not to have a support structure and system. They would prefer to have a free and open market opportunity.
Vilsack is president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, and he's been to China twice this year. He says the Chinese are not fearful about a trade war, although they hope to avoid it. And Vilsack says officials in other world capitals believe a trade war would put a damper on the world economy, which appears to be perking up a bit.
No question China has not played by the rules. The question is how we go about making sure that they change. And I think one of the things the administration is now trying to do that I think is a good thing is that they're trying to get allies in this effort.
Vilsack says there are plenty of companies and farmers in other countries that have been damaged by China's conduct.
There's no question that China has basically gamed the system, certainly as it relates to intellectual property. But there are ways in which we could solicit the help of the EU and Japan and others to put pressure on China to basically change their ways without damaging agriculture.
Vilsack made his comments this past weekend during an appearance on Iowa Public Television's Market to Market program. Well, deputies in Warren County have charged an 18-year-old man in the shooting death of a woman from Cambridge. KCCI reports Jacarius Scoggins of Des Moines was originally taken into custody earlier this month as a material witness in the death of 25-year-old Mercedes Wathen. Warren County Attorney's Office said in a news release over the weekend that Scoggins was arrested Friday and has been charged with first-degree murder in Wathen's death. Officers and medics were called to a home just south of Des Moines April 2nd, where they found Wathen's body. The mayor of the Iowa town of Madrid has resigned amid discussions about whether to resolve, or rather, the local police department. The Des Moines Register reports Dirk Ringenberg resigned last week. He had proposed transferring Madrid's law enforcement responsibilities to the Boone County Sheriff's Office, partly because the town is facing several lawsuits alleging police misconduct. Madrid paid a $50,000 settlement last year in one of the lawsuits. Some residents oppose eliminating Madrid's police force because they worry the town would get less attention. Madrid resident Truan Olson is urging residents to oppose closing the department. And the Polk County Public Health Agency that provides services for those with mental illnesses and intellectual or other developmental disabilities says the personal information of more than 500 patients has been compromised. The Polk County Health Services admitted the mistake Friday. It says those who receive services at the Crisis Observation Center in Des Moines may have been affected. The health service says the breach occurred between June 2014 and January 11th. The information disclosed included names, home addresses, social security numbers, Medicaid information numbers, date of admission to the crisis center, and discharge location. The service says it does not have evidence the data was improperly used, though. The health services offered to provide free credit monitoring for 12 months to those who were affected. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.